development and are willing to work with developers to increase economic development as well as development in the city. And so just trying to figure out how we can best use this when it is a final product, whether it's to you know, climb on top of the city buildings, say we're open for business, or, you know, so just trying to
print some banners.
Yeah, print banners. Madison's open for business. So that's kind of just my, just throwing it out there, and then maybe start with that discussion too.
Well, I completely agree with that sentiment, although I refuse to give the new governor any credit for it. And I think that, you know, one of our broad goals is to try to, as I think this committee has been trying to do for years now, is combat that perception that Madison is anti-business or anti-development. Because I think, you know, part of it is perception and part of it is real experiences that we've heard from, you know, on the EDC and all the work we've been doing on this. And a lot of it is anecdotal and trying to understand, you know, somewhere between the anecdotes that we hear about, you know, everything is horrible, and the statistics that we get in terms of, you know, 90 whatever it is percent of projects are approved, the reality I think is somewhere between there. And I think that the draft report, you know, recognizes that that's the case and then tries to get at some specifics about, you know, what things can we change, what things should we not change, to try to, again, combat those perceptions, but also make some substantive changes where they are needed. And, you know, I agree with a lot of the statements about, you know, making sure that the process is predictable and inclusive. And I think those are the most important things, is and making sure that the people, for lack of a better term, in the democratic sense of that word, are empowered to operate the city in the vision that they want. And that people includes, you know, elected officials, it includes committee members, it includes developers, it includes neighborhoods. And sometimes those things are going to be in conflict, and, you know, we have to have a process for making those decisions. But to the extent that we can empower, you know, anyone who would like to make changes to the built environment, to be able to have a process by which they can propose those changes and have those changes either approved, modified, or rejected, and also empower those who exist in the existing environment to have their say in a structured way. Because I think that some of the criticism in both sides of this equation has been about, you know, I don't know how to access the process. We've heard developers say that. We hear, you know, I hear, and I'm sure Alder Skidmore has too, you know, our constituents say, you know, I want to do X to my house and I don't know how to access the process, or I want to, you know, knock my house down and build a new one. I don't know how to access it. And I think there's a lot of variation in terms of what neighborhood associations, to the extent that they know how to access the process. You know, I represent some neighborhood associations that are very familiar with development processes and have had their own systems in place to access and use those, and other neighborhoods that are completely bewildered by that. I'm dealing with one right now where there's a proposal to tear down the gas station and build a CVS, and the surrounding neighborhood associations that deal with these kinds of things very infrequently really don't have any concept of how to give input and be heard in that process, regardless of how they might feel about it. It's not a statement that they don't know how to oppose it. It's just a question of they don't know how to exercise their rights in the process. So that was a long soliloquy so that Al would have plenty of time to get in, get settled, and I was just buying time for you, really.
I appreciate that, Ron. I know that was all in your heart.
That was a removal from DuPont.
But I meant every word of it, especially the parts before you came in.
We were just getting started. Al was just talking about, you know, where we're at with the report, what we hope we can get through tonight, maybe, and laying the groundwork for what we can do at our next meeting as well. As Peggy sort of reminded us, our goal from the full committee was to come back to the full committee at the February meeting with a new recommendation or a final version of a report for them. So that doesn't leave us a lot of time to get through it. But we just sort of hang and shared some thoughts about the report where it was at, and Mark was just finishing his, so you can chime in if you want.
No, I'm ready to go.
Okay.
I'm working on it.
If I could just add one thought, which is that we, as I think probably everyone in this room now knows, we have a new candidate for Director of Planning and Community and Economic Development who comes from Atlanta and has been through systems like this twice, of development, process review, and re-engineering. And so has what I think is some pretty relevant experience at doing this, both at a city level, obviously a city much larger than ours, but still I think relevant. And he also did it when he was with Fulton County. So presuming he is confirmed next Tuesday, and I don't know what the potential starting date is.
22nd.
Okay.
Excellent.
Coincidence. So he would have time to get started, review our report, and then give us his comments before that we would finish it that evening.
We gave him a copy. we gave him a copy of the report, told him what our timeline was, and asked him to go through it, and if he saw anything in there that he'd like to talk about or have addressed, to certainly get that to us.
Keeping in mind that he doesn't work here yet.
It doesn't matter. He's working.
And I guess I would just add for sort of general comments. I mean, I feel like I think the report is overall in. There's a lot of good stuff in here. I think part of our challenge is I want to make sure that the end report has very clear recommendations. I think Ed Clark raised this, and several of us agreed at the last meeting that right now the phrasing is a little weak, perhaps. It's sort of on the, you know, you should consider, we should think about, instead of we want, here's our recommendation. So strengthening that language on the things that we truly are recommending. And I'd like to make sure it has a sense of priorities for these recommendations. There's a lot in here. And as we look at staff time and EDC recommendations and anyone else who might be moving some of these ahead, some of them, most of them are for staff to implement or changes to how commissions operate. I think we're going to, if we want to ensure this doesn't just sit on a shelf somewhere, we're going to help that process and help the full use of this report by laying out some clear priorities of what's sort of most important that we hope gets done in the next 6 months. What do we hope, what do we want to get done within the next year? But really laying out a timeline for the things that we feel most strongly about that could happen immediately, and those items that maybe either need money or ordinance change or further discussion by other stakeholders. But I'd like to have a report that does that at the end of it. And I guess the other general comment I would say, and I've gotten a lot of feedback from involved neighborhood residents and others who feel like there are pieces of this that are very alienating to or discouraging of neighborhood involvement, and that point to neighborhoods' role in the development process as particularly problematic. And that as we attempt to address one perception from one part of our community about a problem with the system, I'd like to make sure we don't go in the other direction and alienate or isolate a whole other group of stakeholders in it. And I think there's, I don't think that's intended in this. I think there's some ways that we could change language more than substance that might address that and make sure we've got a report that that actually, you know, leaves all sides of the folks who participate in the development process feeling better about where we're at and moving forward in a better way that doesn't leave a whole group of stakeholders feeling offended or to put upon.
Or worse, disenfranchised.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think that's true, and it sort of goes to... Sorry.
What? Go ahead.
Okay. Sorry. It goes to the way Peng started us off with talking about this perception, you know, the perception that Madison is the anti-business is part and parcel, I think, of the perception that this is an attempt to railroad, steamroller, disenfranchised neighborhoods, and neither one of those things is true.
Right.
And to the extent that we can combat those perceptions, I think we'll be better off for it.
Yeah.
Talk to the chair.
bullshit.
You know, write that down. I just, you know, I've been dealing with this for the last 20 years with developers and builders, and Kevin, you know this, you know, that have been running up against roadblocks. I think we need a fair and balanced system, but we don't need to have a system that, you know, throws up roadblocks that will, you know, bar people from coming forward. You know, I would use Edgewater.
We've been trying not to use that as a canonical example, but go ahead. Yeah.
All right. You know, and I just have to say that, you know, because I've done this for years, and I've worked with John Flatt, I've worked with Joama's company, I've worked with others. You know, there are significant roadblocks where neighborhoods throw up unrealistic roadblocks.
Okay, and we talked about that quite a bit as a full committee.
And I'm talking about it right now.
Right. I guess would you like to register and speak, Alder Skidmore, before us? We just have a very small subcommittee.
I
know you
registered.
Are, but we have a small subcommittee and a limited time to get through it. We've had a lot of public testimony. And okay. We'd be happy to hear more of your comments, I think, if you want to register to speak, and then you can tell us directly and we could ask questions. But otherwise, I think the committee wanted to have a very informal discussion tonight where the four of us could really get into the meat of what we want to do on the report.
Just out of curiosity, do elders need to register, or are they at the table?
You know, some committees prefer that elders register. My opinion is that the ordinances say that elders are ex officio members of all committees, so...
And actually, we have an unlimited amount of time to speak, but I will not use that prerogative.
Very much appreciated.
Thank you. I'm not Brewer.
Al, did you
None
want
of us is.
Did you want to weigh in on starting points? Or where you'd like us to start?
Well,
I think
we've talked a lot about the report and what we're trying to achieve, and I think what we should probably do is validate, you know, the kind of the procedure that I think we should follow here is really say, you know, the intent from coming out of the meeting on the 29th was to take this as it is written and use this framework to mold this a little bit further to meet that balance that we're discussing.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to define, I think we should go through here and validate what these things are and say, okay, this makes sense. Let's not spend any more time on that. I think the next thing we need to do is I think we have a list of a couple things that really need to be addressed. And I think we should really kind of weigh in over the next 3 weeks, weigh in over each of these areas on a couple criteria. One, the balance between the various stakeholders. Does it achieve that balance that we're looking for? Two, I think we should be looking at what are the problem areas that we've identified and have we addressed those problem areas? And then three, I think the final piece of the puzzle is to make sure that the appropriate wording and actions that are associated with these are spelled out so that when we go back to the larger committee in February, we've returned a product that we said we were going to return, which is actionable, which meets the objectives, and is something that can then be voted upon and put forward. I think it's very simple. I think we should start at that point.
So do people want to go through the report sort of starting at the beginning, or do you want to go through it in a different way?
I think it would be worthwhile just to start at the beginning. And I think at the end of this discussion today, I would say that we kind of say, here's how we're going to judge the balance between the stakeholders. Here's how we're going to judge, does this meet the objective we're looking at? And then here's the thoughts about how we're going to do this. So when we come back to the next meeting, we can immediately take actions on those. And I'd say we all walk away with some homework today to go with those criteria and reread this report and come back with some hard discussions for that next meeting. What do you guys think about that?
I think that's a great idea. And maybe what we could do is, once we sort of agree on what's the framework for each item, then one of the four of us could perhaps volunteer to be the editor of that particular item. Mm-hmm. And that would be the homework then to come back to the subcommittee with an edited version that then
rather than us trying to sort of edit on the fly here, which I think does not work well in meetings, sort of agree on what's good, what needs work on each item, given the lenses that you just described, which I think are good ones.
Okay.
You know, does it meet the goal of balance, or is it balanced, and does it meet the overall goal?
And I'd just like to ask one question along the line. Tim, how do you feel about that approach?
I think it's fine. I think we have managed over the period of time to go from something that was very contentious in the beginning to something that everybody sees value in and understands that we are looking at this whole concept of proportionate voices and roles with the idea that we're going to make the process better. The way that the report has come out, a lot of that is internal stuff. It's new systems within the department, new ways of tracking to be able to meet one of Ed's requirements, which is to be able to develop some metrics to be able to measure this over time. We toned down some of the language simply because I was convinced by some of the others on the internal team that we needed to be a little bit more politically correct. I'm all for boosting the language as far as that's concerned. I think it tells a story right now and it flows. I think that we can certainly fine-tune it a little bit, but I'd be careful not to dilute it. I think we've got one shot at this after we've been through this type of a process three or four times before. This is the one that we've got a shot at getting done. We've got a council that's interested in it. We've got a new planning director, our new department director that is interested in that, and we'll have a chance to have some input. We've been able to specify at the back some implementation ideas as far as what can be enacted now, what needs ordinance changes. This still needs to be approved, and once it's approved by the council, it then has to be sent back to the city attorney, to the planning department, and to the other relevant departments to then do a checklist of what are those specific steps to approve to implementation. This doesn't have all those steps in there. They're very complicated, but if we have the mandate from the council and the mayor's office for the various division and department heads to do it, I think we get there.
Okay.
Should we, before we dive into that, go back to item one, which was electing a chair and chairperson? I do not want to be chair. So and I could surrender the chair happily and nominate someone else. Do you want to just take care of that quickly?
Already. For not wanting to be chair.
I know, I'm pissed off.
You should have really done,
I would nominate Peng and Al. Peng as chair and Al as vice chair. If we'd like to do this and just get it done, that's who I would nominate. But
I'm good with that. I just have to be real honest with you. I'm okay with the Roberts rules.
There's only four of us. Yeah. We don't need Roberts rules.
Yes, you do. We don't need to be formal about it. Yeah. We obviously need to follow the open meetings and records laws.
Right.
But
in terms of
Peng, you feel comfortable with that? Running for office at the moment.
If you were going to ask me 3 weeks ago, I wouldn't be comfortable. But running for office, I got a feeling I'm going to be really tied up for the next month. So
congratulations.
and you've got nothing going on in your life.
Yeah, that's true.
And under ordinance, I can't chair.
Yeah.
Wow, I
this
is
how
this is going.
Yeah. I knew you could pull it out.
Because I don't have anything going on either.
Yeah. Peng, I don't think that chairing the meetings necessarily would put any additional workload on you. Not that I'm, minimizing the work required to run for office, but...
Yeah, no, I got a feeling it's going to be a really tight schedule for me.
I'll get you a gavel.
Okay.
He really doesn't want me to be an Al, so you
can. No, I don't mind at all.
You don't want me to be an Al.
I really don't.
But please, it's my first time doing this, so you guys can help.
We will be gentle.
We'll be gentle. Yeah, we'll be nice.
Yes. I don't have a yellow, flag to throw around.
Actually, I do.
Do you?
So can we consider by acclamation Al to be chair?
Yes.
And then surrender it?
Congratulations, Al.
Point of order, you need to vote on it?
I think it was unanimous.
Yeah. I saw Peggy write down unanimous vote.
Unanimous voice vote.
Yeah. I didn't hear any objections.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, motion approved.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay, I appreciate it. I need to practice. I have to say something special. I can no, start the discussion.
Fire away.
Okay, all right. Okay.
I should adjourn the meeting.
Great day, and here we come.
Yeah. Make it a lot easier.
Don't go there.
All right. So I think the first order that we need to take a look at here is that I'd like to start going through each of these at the beginning. Tim, I'd ask that you can help walk us through this again.
Okay.
And I'd like to just kind of have a good overview of what we have.
Okay. Let me ask a question. Do we need to go through the intro, or can we start right in on the implementation goals and implementation steps?
I guess I'd like to say about the, I'd like to have a little discussion about the intro, mainly because I think it's one of the areas where I've certainly heard a lot of comments and we had some testimony about the intro. I don't think we need to spend long on it, and I would offer to do some work honing it out of this meeting if that's helpful, but...
That's going to be way more work than chairing, you know.
I know. There's lots of good people who've submitted testimony on that. So
let's start at the intro, but let's not take it
I guess I would just say generally about the info, about the intro, that the comments I've heard about it and that we heard in our testimony before us was that the intro is so general in some places and so broad as to really not help us relate to what the topic at hand is and sort of the process. And that I think there's ways we can just tighten it and really focus it on, and also save some room in the report so that the report is not as long. And the comment that I've had emailed to me or called more often than any other, which is certainly telling about the process we're discussing, is that the chart on page 14 is so unreadable, we might as well not even include it.
It's footnoted to the back.
Yeah. I guess I think there's...
Point.
Right. It is kind of the point, right? But if it's... Why would we include it if it's so...
Let me explain why I laid it out this way. I thought that we needed to tell a story and put it into context. Why does it matter? It matters because the assessed value on the built environment of the city is what allows anything else to happen. And I wanted to be able to tell that story to people that would be reading this that have not been a part of this process or the city's process in the past. Which is the majority of the population of the city of Madison. And I think we need to be able to put it into context. We have an opportunity here from an economic development committee perspective and division perspective to talk about why we see this as important. Instead of, is too so inside baseball that why should I care? So that was the purpose for the introduction, to be able to set that story up.
Well, I would offer outside this meeting to just maybe offer some slightly different text for us to consider at our next meeting on those first few pages of intro, if anyone else is interested in that. If everybody else feels like it's fine, I'm not going to kill myself on it, but I think there's ways to make it a little more relevant to what the report is getting at and a little more specific to what we're trying to talk about.
I agree, and I would welcome reading your input on it.
Yeah, I agree also that when I started, the first time I got to look at this, the very first time many, many months ago, I was kind of like, oh, what are we doing again by page 7, 8, and then it gets it good. So I thank Vicki for volunteering to tighten it up some more.
Okay. And just so we're clear, what couple things do we want to, through this tightening up process, what are the couple things that we're wanting to communicate a little bit better in this section?
Well, what I heard from Vicki is more relevant to the goals of this report. And I think that that certainly reflects where I think it could be improved as well.
So, for example, I might take out this line in the second paragraph, over 50% of its total area exempt from property taxes, which numerous people have said to us, why does that matter? Why is that particular point relevant to how we, to what we're talking about in this report. Mm-hmm. Why does that issue and that map really matter at all?
Well, I think I would argue that's the key point for the reason. In order to be able to encourage investment and encourage development in the city, we have to realize why it's imperative.
Yeah, so I guess what I'd like to see is maybe we talk about what the key points are here as they are now, because that so that we can hone in on those points and make sure that we don't rework something that doesn't fall in line with what even our staff would look at.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tim, if you can take us through what your key points are in here.
Okay, the key points is the rationale for being worried about this or being concerned about the investment environment, and it has to do with the way that the city is able to fund itself, and that's through the levy on the assessed value. By encouraging and making development a little less onerous so that we do change the reputation of Madison as being someplace to invest. And as we heard in testimony at the last EDC meeting, why should I do a deal here when I can do it someplace else? Make the rationale for the imperative available to, again, the general public who don't really understand that half the city is off the tax rolls.
I think if I can just jump in, I think you're sort of saying you're kind of making the case for development in general. And I don't think that's necessarily wrong or inappropriate for this, but let's call it that.
I'm making an argument for the environment for development, and the environment for and why that environment is important.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
So
maybe we just need, in part, some context of why we're saying this.
And I think that's kind of what's being said here as far as the competition is concerned, but we may need to clarify that a little bit further. I think one other thing that we may want to talk about in this area alongside of that is the protection of the city as itself, meaning that this was a twofold objective in my mind, which was A, develop us an environment that is conducive for development, and that addresses the real issue, which is we want to have good services and good city and those kind of things, and here's why we need to do that. But the second side of that is, the second pillar of it is we want to protect the environment that we do have. And those may need to be a side-by-side discussion in this introduction.
We could talk about a little bit all the more important to create a desirable place in Madison to invest, work, and live. But we might want to boost that up a little bit, and we talk about why that works, or why it's important because of that equation we came up with, the level of services really equal to tax levy and property values.
And is that what you were thinking, Mickey, in your?
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, I'm not here to have. I don't need to have homework on this section. So if people generally feel like they like it, and maybe it just needs, maybe, you know, Tim, who's got a good sense of what he wanted to say, is able to take these few comments that, you know, Mark and others have made tonight and just tighten it slightly and take that off my plate, I'm happy to, that's fine. If people
no,
are overall
the
fine with
is
it.
To give me the homework.
Yeah.
I mean, what it all comes down to is that last paragraph on page 9.
I can tell.
The goal of what we're trying to do is to increase Madison's competitiveness for investment and job creation by streamlining the development process, maintaining quality of the built environment, and ensuring fair and responsive regulatory decision-making.
So maybe we need to move that to the front.
Yeah, it does feel like the lead is buried a little bit, mm-hmm. right? But if that's the main point,
sure.
then let's
yeah,
say
so
that.
Yeah, it's buried on page 9.
Yeah.
And I think we do say it in here, but I would like to add that we add a little bit more meat around the protection of the environment, such as our historical areas mm-hmm. and our neighborhoods and so forth.
Okay.
Because I think that was, as I understood it, an objective for what we were trying to achieve.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, if that is part of our strategy as we're laying out this bold paragraph, that our report and recommendations don't really focus on that at all right now. I mean,
we should discuss it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I copy you.
Because we don't really focus on either historic preservation guidelines and whether those should be maintained or changed, and we don't really focus on sort of quality of what's being built, which, I mean, that phrase, maintaining quality of the built environment, to me implies something about urban design or sort of energy standards or something that, that I don't think the report gets into at all.
Is that our objectives? Is that really clear here, or is that, you're grimacing that?
Yeah, I'm not sure it is, and that's why I was, you know, initially intrigued by Vicki's offer to tweak this. I'm sort of making some notes as I think about it, stream of consciousness as well, that I'll send you. You can agree or fabulous or completely ignore at your discretion.
So do we agree on any action at that point?
Vicki's going to draft some stuff. I'll be happy to work with her on it and be able to bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
Anything on the guiding principles?
See anything. I think this speaks more to some of the protection that we're talking about, the proportional inputs, the complete information, and the empowerment. I think this was sufficient to support what's there.
Mm-hmm.
Any other comments?
Okay. Anything on the relationships with the comprehensive neighborhood and special area plans? This, again, is for the people that really have not had to deal with everything and kind of just basically states what it is.
Right. These are the layers we have.
Some of them.
Right.
I guess I thought these
mission summary.
And I thought these mission statements of all the commissions, those could be an appendix instead of in here at the front.
See, I kind of like them here.
Yeah.
Because if we kind of look at this process,
stage.
It really is twofold. It's, I think, in this case. And I think that's the environment, right? So this kind of spells that out.
Mm-hmm.
So we leave those there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Development approval process, kind of setting up what it is, and the fact that we're kind of splitting that between simple and complex, and looking at what the goal will be, although the goals, Brad had asked that we change, make it clear that the timeline starts after it gets into the city somehow. Take a look at you doing that.
I haven't looked at all the details of the report in a little while, but I don't think we ever come back to the simple complex idea throughout the specific recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
We do in a couple of places.
And it's mentioned, I think, you know, under page 25, you know, we have a process that distinguishes between permitted uses and complex projects. But in terms of that major distinction, which we're sort of laying out in the intro, is how we're approaching the process. I don't know that our recommendations right now really fall into those categories. I mean, I don't think you could read this report at the end of it and say, oh, it's clear, here's the changes they're proposing for simple projects, which are defined as X, and here's the recommendations they're proposing for complex projects, which are defined as Y.
Well, it's because in both simple and complex, you've got some of the same processes, especially inside, as far as sign off by engineering and traffic and everybody else. So they are going to be combined at times. It's more of when a project comes in, are we assigning a project manager in the planning department to be able to coordinate this? And that's really where the differential between simple and complex is made within the document itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I sort of thought initially that the difference was simple projects generally get administrative approval or, you know, only require building permits, whereas complex projects are ones that actually require some policymaker action, plan commission, something like that. But it's far more nuanced than that. I mean, there can be simple and complex projects that fall in either one of those categories.
Simple
so it's
can
really
become complex.
Right. I mean, that's absolutely true. The gray areas are vast.
I have a question. I frequently get requests from developers about, minor modifications to SIPs, you know, so I sign off on them. Is that what you're talking about is simple? You know, to me, that takes you know, 7 days? Mm-hmm. Is that what we're talking about?
That is one example of simple, but it isn't. What I was just saying is that's not necessarily the differentiation between simple and complex.
Minor alteration, I'm sorry. Minor alteration.
Yeah, a minor alteration, I would say, is almost always simple, but it's not. That's not the only category of simple. I mean, you know, one of my constituents did a subdivision demolition thing yesterday, and even though it took a fair amount of time, I would still put that in the simple category.
How much time are you talking about? I'm sorry for interrupting you. Are you talking a week? Are you talking a day?
It was probably 60 days between filing and approval. Something like that. Well, there's the cooling off period, for lack of a better term, before you could file a demolition permit. And so, you know, if you consider all that as part of the, from the day the applicant first woke up and said, hey, I think I'll buy this house and tear it down, to the day it was approved, which was yesterday.
Answer my question. Thank
you. Yeah. So, but I would still categorize that as simple, because the process was very straightforward. You know, it required just one vote at plan commission, which took 5 minutes, and
it took 60 days.
Well, that's because of the, primarily because of, we have that waiting period for demolitions. But I think just in terms of the context that's used in this report, I wouldn't categorize it as complex. Mere, just time, I think, does
other
not necessarily
would not categorize it quite like that, but I understand
right.
what you're saying.
Right.
So. I think that should be said though in the report. That
yeah, I think
time,
actually
the timeline, time or time it takes is not all that. I think you just said it well. You said it better than I'm going to remember. That it's not the only characteristic of a complex project.
Right.
No, Brad split it out by permitted uses being the simplified, simple plans. And then those plans that needed projects requiring board or commission review become complex.
So it's not based on, so I think we're all agreeing that it's not based on time. Time isn't the deciding factor
right,
of what's
right.
sort of simple
it's really,
or complex.
I think what he's trying to say here, maybe we need to say this, is it's really sort of number of steps mm-hmm. more than anything else. I mean, it's possible that there could be 14 steps that could all happen in 3 days. And there could be two steps that take 60 days.
Right. I think it'd be helpful to have, even if it's just a short paragraph that says there's numerous factors that influence how long it takes a project to move through the current process.
Right.
And that will influence how long it takes to get through our recommended streamline process.
Right.
Some of those are, you know, complexity of what they're asking for, staff involved. Some of it is, as was highlighted, you know, both neighborhood and development approval and sort of buy-in and their ability to get information in a timely way. But it's worth, I think, laying those out. That
we do have some of that in here.
Some of it's in there.
In that paragraph, it should be noted that the timeline could be longer even for permitted uses if the initial submittals do not meet ordinance requirements.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or for other reasons that we can't even try to articulate.
Yeah.
So I think the heart of the issue here is the definition of simple and complex. And so if we look at the definitions that are listed here, projects that are consistent with the neighborhood and comprehensive plans being denoted as simple, and the complex, the flowchart for complex projects require board and commission review, if that's the criteria that we're going to define, is that a sufficient enough criteria for us to define simple and complex?
And as part of our intro to this, I mean, I think we should lay out clearly for the reader, you know, these averages, right? I mean, here's the current average time, and here's what our recommendations we think will lead to. And right now, if you look at those on page 15, if we're looking at our recommended sort of simplified plan that gets us for complex projects a timeline of 21 days to 120 days, that's actually longer than the averages listed on page 14.
Right.
Except for the fact. Could you repeat that? Did you say simple or complex?
Complex.
Okay. We've got to understand the way that Brad measures. He doesn't measure the pre-application phase, which is one of the things we're trying to get through on this by having the project have to come into the city to start the clock running initially.
Well, then we should explain that, because to the reader, that's not clear at all. And if you're looking just to see, I mean, if one of our outcomes is how much time do our recommendations streamline a process, how much time do they save, if you're looking at page 14 and page 15, you see 76 days, and then over here you see 4 months. and they should both be in days or months, but so they're consistent. But it's pretty easy to see that we've got a recommendation for a complex process that certainly on its face looks like it's longer than the current average.
Okay, I'll change it.
That's progress.
Right. At least we're honest about it.
Yes.
All right, so what we're going to do is the definitions are okay, as we've defined them, mm-hmm. in our opinion at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And we are now saying that we need to make sure that we clearly communicate where we are currently and where we're planning to go as far as what the durations of these projects are,
mm-hmm.
specifically getting down to more clearly identifying how Brad has accounted for these in these areas.
Mm-hmm.
So currently the 76 days is from the point of apply to the city, does not include pre-application phase, but yet on page 15 we're talking about everything including the pre-application phase.
Right.
Because
I think if you're a developer or if you're, you know, the neighborhood development committee chair, pre-application versus post-application makes no difference to you.
Right.
It's the how much time am I going to spend on this?
Yep.
You know, it's kind of like the example I was using before. From the day that I'll just name the applicant in the case I was talking about yesterday, Altoon woke up and said, I'm going to tear down the house next door and split the lot with my neighbor, to last night was, you know, a long time. And he's not going to measure that in his mind, nor is the neighborhood association that reviewed it going to measure it based on the day the application was filed. It's the day they started dealing with it.
Okay, so that is what we're going to do then. We're going to just clarify between 14 and 15,
mm-hmm.
the difference between the starting of the clock. So at 14, we're saying, hey, we have an average of 76 days, but it's after the pre-application.
Right.
We're saying here we're going to go 3 weeks to 4 months with the pre-application phase for a complex project.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we probably need to just clarify that with like a timeline.
Yeah.
But just
I don't think we have any. I don't think we have any data on how long that pre-application phase is.
Anywhere from quickly to years.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it could be that, you know.
Right.
And to be honest with you,
I mean, Edgewater was talking to, you know, people in the neighborhood for a year or longer before it ever came to the city.
Mullins has been going for 7 years on Highland University.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
In fairness to Brad, who unfortunately is back at Harvard at a conference right now, this is what he thinks he can do,
mm-hmm.
as far as time goes. The reality is, until we start measuring, we're not even going to know what is potentially feasible. Once we start getting some data coming in, and once we return to a normal environment for investment and so on, I think we'll be able to do it. We need to start building up some trend lines, which we don't have today.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's clearly stated, and I think that's here. I think we just need to contrast the starting clock for each of these timelines.
I get a question and then a comment, which is probably provocative, but, you know, Mark, you probably know what I'm going to say.
Not yet.
First off, what I think, you know, I'm hoping you're saying, and I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek, so that for within 3 to 10 business days, you're going to guarantee and give presumptive approval to somebody who meets the requirements. Is that correct or not?
I believe that's what this is stating, is that's the
okay,
goal.
Okay, so
that's
somebody
goal.
Comes in.
That's the goal.
No, I don't want a goal. I want a standard.
I don't think we can measure that standard at this point.
So you're saying you don't agree with
that? I'm saying we have a goal. Come back here.
So you answered my question. Okay, so if somebody comes in with a 3 to 4 month standard, could be like the Edgewater or, you know, Mullins, and be how many, 2 to 7 years? I wouldn't want to agree to a system like that.
But is that what we're saying?
No, I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
You know, okay, you're saying, well,
I think
okay, if they meet all of the requirements, you know, and they have an open deadline, okay, do you follow my drift or not?
No, I don't follow.
Okay, all right. Okay, what you're saying is the timeline is between 3 years to 4 months. Okay, if
three
they
weeks.
Meet all of the
requirements,
weeks.
3 weeks to 4 months.
3 weeks to 4 months. Okay, if the developer meets all of the requirements of the city, they should get presumptive approval.
That's been discussed by the committee, and we had testimony on that, and the full EDC decided not to include that in this report.
Okay, I'm an alder, and I don't agree with that.
You
just want to let
you
know.
An amendment when it comes before you for approval.
And I will.
You'd have every opportunity to.
So, I'm here because I just want to let you know, that this has been going on for years, and
I'm new to this, so if I can kind of understand a little bit more clearly what you're getting at. You just have to get in here three weeks to 4 months.
If you ask a developer to provide a certain amount of information and go through a certain number of meetings, and they meet all of those requirements, should they not be able to get presumptive approval? I mean, that happens in many other...
Like Vicki said, we talked about this at EDC and agreed that that would not be one of our recommendations.
Okay, and I understand that you're saying that. That would be one of my recommendations.
I think he's saying something a little bit different than what we agreed on.
Go ahead.
I think what you're saying is, if you go through the process and you've achieved the commission approvals...
And they've met your requirements.
Well, you've met the permitted uses. You've gotten your variances where needed. And you've seen the commissions the way the process has required you to see it. And at the end of this process, I believe, Tim, you have an approval step, right? At that point, then there should be approval.
There should be presumptive approval. I guess that's what the law calls.
I don't think it is even presumptive approval. I think it's approved.
Just approval.
It is approved.
Where the difficulties I think come in is the ping-ponging problem, where you go to the Urban Design Commission and they want to change, so then you've got to come back with new plans, and the new plans may even trigger some other review. And the referrals back and forth or back to yourself over and over again, that's what extends it out, and that's what we've heard over and over again is what we have to stop. You've got to go in within the mission of your commission or committee or approval body, within that mission, stick to it, make a decision, get on with it.
Bingo. I'll end my discussion at that point, but he kind of hit it right on the head.
And I believe that's what we get drawn up in the process flowchart. So there, it's not a presumptive approval, it's an approval.
I say potato, you say potato.
If we come back in a year and say, you know, we can't even get close to this, why is that? Well, it's still getting ping-ponged. Well, we've tried to address some of the ping-ponging and some of the constant referrals within the rest of the body of the initiative.
Without going to something like presumptive approval. I mean, presumptive approval implies that, you know, that there's a certain clock ticking, and if, say, Plan Commission doesn't approve it by the end of that clock, then it's approved anyway. And we agreed as a committee that was not in the best interest.
Okay, I'll make one more comment. Unless, you know, the applicant meets all of the requirements, and the neighborhood association, or let's say the city, or whatever community just wants to jack this person around and say, well, okay, no, we have this new requirement. We have this new requirement. We have this new requirement. If you meet all of the approvals that you've been asked to meet, should you not be allowed to do what you've asked to do?
You are.
Yeah. Okay, so I think we're on the same page here. You know, you call it presumptive approval. I call it approval, you know.
I think so, really what you're talking about are the standards for review that Plan Commission and Urban Design
use that.
Well, I don't think we could ever invent a process that would take human error and or discretion out of it. That's why we have committees and commissions. Otherwise, it would just, you know, go through a computer program and decide whether it's approved or not.
And one of the other goals that I've also really liked and have kept reminding myself of is we also, you know, we have the Planning Commission and commissions with stated missions. And when you go to the community side of things, some neighborhoods are well organized, others aren't. So developers have consistently said, well, there's no standard. One of our goals in here was to somehow find a standard so that all neighborhood associations have a set process, so that would help in this approval process. So that presumptive, but the process is laid out so that a developer going into
whatever neighborhood is predictable.
And that was one of the goals that I heard neighborhood folks say and developers say, yeah, if we can all agree on that, if I, as a developer, know going into it is predictable, then it makes it a whole lot easier if there's no 60, 80, 40, 100, 7 years that takes place.
I don't want to end discussion here. I think this is a very important point, but it is going to come up later in the goals that we have here. I think the objective right now is to get through these sections and say what we there, and then we'll
Sir, you've answered my questions. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
No problem.
Okay. And the organization of goals and implementation options, just kind of spelling it out.
Can I go back just on page 15 really quickly? The implementation goal. We talked about this a little bit at the full committee. But that implementation goal is currently stated is maybe not really as strong as we wanted. That the idea that a year from now all we want to have happen is buy-in and cooperation as opposed to having some real things have happened. I think it's just the phrase buy-in and cooperation that makes it sound like we're going to spend a year just trying to tell people what these recommendations are as opposed to actually moving forward and doing them.
Well, here's what I would like to state here. Just as I agree with you, Vicki. I think it's very clear that in a year this process needs to be enacted and moving and used and being used. Mm-hmm. I think it should be effectively being used in a year. Mm-hmm.
Do we want to specify some metrics or specify that there will be metrics?
I think we should, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can't measure it, you can't manage it philosophy?
I think that's a very good point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in some of the implementation goals we do talk about metrics.
Yeah.
At the next meeting.
I don't want to spend a year talking to people about this.
I think the couple things we need to do to that is beef it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I think we need to specify what those, I think we need to draw out and summarize what those goals are in this section.
Could you throw another word in there that includes acceptance?
Yes.
From the, investors and the developers?
I think buy-in says the same thing.
You know, if people that are actually, spending the money accept it,
mm-hmm.
I think that's...
Don't you think buy-in it says the same thing?
No.
No?
Okay. I'd rather we pull buy-in and just go with acceptance, Paul.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Remember what I said, potato, potato?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a little stronger word.
Okay? But I do think, and going back to what Al was just saying, too, I think this is the section where we should lay out, within 6 months, we hope that these... and maybe it's just bullet points, that these recommendations, we can do bullet point with a page number to the more detail about it, perhaps, something simple like that.
Are you talking dollar numbers or what? What are you talking about?
No, I'm talking, we have numerous goals laid out here. And I think in our introduction, we should say very clearly which of those goals will be implemented within the first 6 months after report approval or within the first year after report approval. Some of them, we can put an asterisk or whatever by the ones that have that need a budgetary allocation or that need an ordinance change first, but there's quite a few of them that don't need either of that.
Page 41 has got that.
Yeah, so even just moving that into our intro, I'm trying to see the intro as more of a summary as well for the reader who wants the executive summary version of this.
And isn't going to read the rest of
it? And isn't going to read our fine details laid out on all these other pages, yeah.
Okay. Matt, you getting all this?
I just looked at 41. I like 41.
Start working.
Well, 41 is what's really going to be coming to the council. And you're going to have to decide whether or not you're going to, these are important and these are priorities. We'll spell out some of the priorities. And then once we get into June and July again, we're looking at budget authorizations. The end result is from the process, the approval process, is this goes to the council and the council says, yes, we want to do that. City attorney, start drafting the necessary ordinance changes. Department head, division heads, start taking a look and breaking this down into implementation steps and start coming up with the budget authorization so we can consider it in the 2012 budget.
Wait,
so
you promised me this wasn't going to cost anything.
You have no idea.
So the implementation goal here needs to state a couple things. What Tim just said, but it needs to state it's going to be accepted and enacted by the council.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to, in a year, be effective, and and then after that, follow the implementation plan as prescribed. And that's the summary table that we're referring to.
Well, what does that mean, be effective? In a year, we'll be effective? You mean, like,
well,
actually
well, some of the metrics
place,
we were talking about.
Or you mean
well,
effective
any, you,
as in
working? You've got to get it budgeted. I mean, some of these things are going to be budgeted. So there's things that you can't do until you have the budget.
So you mean effective, like, effective date, not effective, like, working effectively.
I mean both.
Okay.
Yeah, it needs to be
funded.
Okay. And so for that second part, then that's where we need to specify. How do we measure that? How do we know if it's actually working effectively?
Exactly.
Okay. Can I? I'm sorry. Go back to the simple and complex for a moment.
No.
Yes. Please.
20 seconds is all I need. Just we need to recognize that there is a preposterously wide variation in even complex projects.
Yeah.
The reason I mention this is people often compare Hilldale Target and Edgewater. You know, why was Hilldale Target so easy and Edgewater was hard? And I think it's an unfair comparison because even though they are both large projects, the level of complexity is not even comparable. That, you know, just the number of steps and different kinds of things that were required for the both of those, that we just have to recognize that even within complex, in and of itself, is not a category that all things can be lumped into very
easily. I think there's going to be outliers on anything.
Well, but I think I can clarify this. As somebody who navigates this process in multiple countries, this definition is exactly what I'm looking for.
Okay.
I'm either a simple project where I'm prescribing to the use that's there, and if I'm not, I'm a complex project, and here's the avenues that I have to travel.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as I have a 3-week to 4-month window on my complex side of things, I've got a risk management scenario that I can manage.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is more than effective to deal with that issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of like what you're just saying. I just want to say, though, there may be a third category. You know, there's the simple, which I think are the minor alterations and stuff that takes a week or two. Then there are the complex ones, and then there are the ones like Edgewater, and Overture and others, which could take years. Hilldale, which could take years, University Avenue. So maybe there are three categories. You know, and I'm not sure if you want to handle this or, you know, but you see what I'm saying? I mean, I understand what you're saying,
I
really like what you're saying, but there are some that just go off the chart. I mean, who would have guessed? You know, Edgewater would have gone this long, you know.
Well, I think we should maybe mention the concept of outliers.
You know, just, you know, the really, really big ones.
Yeah, so. The BFDs.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. As Biden would say.
That's right.
That was my line. That was the Vice President of the United States. I just want to make clear.
Okay. How about anything in the organizational goals and implementation section?
I got to fix that bottom part. This is all going to be recommended.
Yeah.
What page?
16. All right.
And I think these overriding questions right above that, Tim, I don't know that because we're no longer selecting and prioritizing implementation options in terms of the report. We're recommending that all of them be implemented.
Yeah, I'll just take that out.
Got it.
And I think most of the implementations are just that, options, et cetera. Since we're recommending this now, all that, I think, could come out.
Okay.
Anything in the pre-application phase? That ends up the implementation, or the introduction, I believe.
Yeah.
We start the goals here at this point. Okay, so is there any... Can we just... Say,
Vicky's going to give me some language and some things. We'll try to fix that up a little bit.
Okay.
But that's done.
That's done.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
I think just from a mechanical standpoint, Peggy, maybe if you numbered the pages with Roman numerals before that point, and then just so you can clarify, this is the introduction part, and now we're in the real. Because otherwise, it's not obvious that you're moving on past the,
I don't know if I
the author's
build.
Notes, as it were.
I don't know if I did.
Can I just make one suggestion, though, in that regard?
I'll help.
Because now, maybe we do that with the final clean printed version, because otherwise now all the minutes will not reflect what's in the document that people are trying to... So that might be
okay.
The published version.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fine,
When it's etched in stone, then...
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll move on to the pre-application phase and goal. Then the goal on pre-application A, 1.
Great.
So.
Okay. Any comments?
I think Ed had a good comment about how this section should sort of clarify when the clock is starting to track time, and maybe that's just a sentence or two.
Okay.
But if there's no clock, what's the purpose in starting the clock?
Well, because we have a goal that is now encouraging the first point of contact from a developer with a project.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry, I apologize.
Sure.
The very first goal that we lay out on page 17, and maybe we should call these recommendations instead of goals. I mean, but whatever. The very first one is to encourage the first point of contact to be with department staff, with city staff.
Well, that's the goal, and then the recommendations are underneath that.
I would think that should be a requirement.
Yeah.
You know, you go in, you talk to staff.
But that's not the way it is today.
Right.
No, it's not.
Okay. So if that's when we're saying the clock starts, then we should just clarify that that first point of contact of I have a project, I'd like, how do I move it forward? Is that when the clock starts? I think it is, so we should clarify that.
Mm-hmm. I'm a bullet point guy, so I'm going to make a comment here. On this initial write-up of the pre-application phase, I'd like to see the objectives of this phase bullet point out. The objective of the pre-application phase is to start the clock, initial contact with the city, so forth.
Well, isn't it really what these, aren't they really the goals, the A, B, C, and D? The goal of the pre-application, establish a predictable expectations for neighborhood and staff review. Inclusive, fair, and uniform neighborhood input into development projects. I mean, I could certainly bullet those for each of these sections.
Well, I'm thinking more about the things that Vicki is talking about as far as starting the clock and some of the work verbiage that's in this initial three paragraphs here, the desired outcome, what we're looking to achieve out of this.
Okay, but to me, starting the clock is a derivative of what the goal is, and the goal is to have a predictable expectations and a process. Part of that is, when do we find out that there really is a project? Right now, it could be floating out in the cloud for a while, being talked to by neighborhoods, being talked to with the alders, being talked to by other people. But we need to be able to capture that. And we're going to capture the stuff that never goes anywhere, but we need to capture that so we can start wrapping the city process around it and start making sure that we can move forward.
Okay, well, I think we're using different vernacular here, so I'll clarify. I appreciate you replying. What I'm looking at here is in the pre-application phase. If I'm a reader, a layman reading this, I'm not going to know what really is going to go on in the pre-application phase to understand why we're establishing these goals. And I think that's what you try to describe in these first three paragraphs. So I was thinking maybe say in the application phase, here's what you're doing in the pre-application phase, and then here are the goals that we're trying to achieve with our recommendations. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The only thing I would like to add is that, you know, in at the last EDC meeting, we had decided to use bolder language.
Yeah.
And so for goal A1, instead of encourage first, we're going to go ahead and say, like, recommend.
Require.
It should be
required.
And require.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the point is, as you go through this, Tim, let's just change those words to require and
actually that's
demand.
Actually, that's a revision down to an earlier version. But yeah, okay.
Okay, so then we have the first goal.
The first goal is to register into a web-based system that we want to develop, and that's where you got the things from a budgetary perspective, and it just talks about why we want to do that. And it sounds like in all the discussions we've had, that that's really what we want.
Back up 1 second. Yeah, I'm stuck on the word expectations in A. Establishes predictable expectations. I'm not sure I understand what that means, and maybe I'm just missing something.
Yeah, it's more like a predictable process or
predictable
standards.
That's what I'm thinking of, process
it's
or outcome.
I think it's a predictable process.
Yeah,
or a consistent kind of standard.